Congressman Sean Patrick Maloney of New York's 18th District is with us now, and thanks for showing up as always, Sean. But I want to ask you, the talk as we speak now is that Jeff Sessions' head is on the block, much like a turkey. You know, that the president may fire him in order to get at Mueller. If he fires Jeff Sessions and he fires Rosenstein and he puts somebody in as a temporary who then goes along with firing Mueller, that's a pretty bad state of affairs, in my opinion.
Yeah, look, you know, I have real problems with the attorney general for a lot of reasons. I think his performance in the confirmation hearings and the way he forgot and misrepresented his connections to Russian officials was problematic. My real problem with him is what he's been doing at the Justice Department in terms of going backwards in terms of criminal justice reform. And in terms of a lot of policies that I disagree with, I mean, just last week he spoke to some anti-LGBT group and they wouldn't disclose the remarks. I mean, this is such a trip backwards in so many areas that matter that, you know, I sure won't be sorry to see Jeff Sessions go. I will tell you that if the president believes that he's going to achieve something by undermining his own attorney general, I think he's mistaken, and I think he is engaging indulging himself in this public humiliation of one of his own cabinet members. And and when you think about it, it sort of tells you everything you need to know, both about Donald Trump and the people who are working for him right now. It is a toxic environment. Nothing good is coming out of this little dispute he's having, and it's not the way a serious person interacts with his attorney general.
I know I've asked you this before because I know it's coming, but I am pretty sure he's going to try to fire Bob Mueller before the results of the Mueller investigation are out. Would there be any recourse from the American people? Would there be a sense of outrage?
I don't think the president would be able to justify that. To the contrary, I think you would see an explosion here in Washington in both political parties. It would be an outrageous act, particularly if Director Mueller continues to conduct himself the way he always has in his career, which is with an extraordinary level of professionalism and skill and decency. This is a man who has spent his life serving his country, who has an exemplary record, who is deeply respected in both political parties. The only person who has a problem with him is the president, who he is investigating. That's not going to fly. So I think the president would be wise to let Director Mueller do his work.
Every once in a while, I sit back and I say, you know, if he hadn't fired Comey, much of what's going on now wouldn't be happening. What do you think?
You know, I think so much of this is like the scorpion and the frog, you know,
yeah.
The old parable of I can't help myself, it's in my nature. You know, and if you look at so many things that the president does, obviously, he has a success strategy in this world that has led him to the presidency. So there are things he does and does very well. A lot of us would argue that they tend to be on the negative side or on the demagogic side. But look, he has succeeded by being who he is in his own mind. I don't think he's going to change. But yes, you know, the fact is that his problems are of his own making. And what he is not doing is at least as important as what he is doing. What he is not doing is passing any meaningful legislation in Washington because he has refused to work across the aisle and he has not settled down to focus on things like infrastructure and tax reform and health care and immigration and all the things we as a country need to do. And I think we should all remember that we don't have a presidency to waste. These years matter. We should be working on things that matter to folks.
You know, I don't know that I would be as charitable towards him as I think you're being. I get that, and I respect that.
Well, I'm a charitable guy, I guess. What I'm trying to say is that the president is who he is, and the American people elected him. I do not believe that he did not win the election, even with all the stuff we're learning about Russia. So the fact is that it would be great for the country if he settled down and worked with people across the aisle and got some things done. I'd be happy to, you know, sit down with my Republican colleagues and work out a compromise on everything from health care to infrastructure to taxes and immigration and a lot of other things, because that's what the American people need. They don't need us to be fighting over something. They need us to be fighting for something. And if we get to a result where we're all passionate and representing what we think matters, well, that's democracy. And we can do that under Donald Trump if he just acts like the president, if he just does his job. And that's all I'm asking. And I do think that would be better than 4 years of just spinning our wheels.
I want to ask you about homelessness. You have a plan to turn what we call, some people call, zombie properties into housing for homeless veterans. First of all, explain what a zombie property is.
Right. I had a constituent thank me in a public setting for working on the zombie problem, and there were a lot of puzzled looks in the audience. But what we're talking about are zombie homes, and that means, you know, blighted properties in a lot of upstate communities. I represent Newburgh and Poughkeepsie. You can go really to any upstate community, and you'll see it. And the fact is that we have a homelessness problem with our veterans at the same time. So I have an idea that we can turn zombie properties into homes for veterans. Veterans organizations and other not-for-profits like land banks can convert these homes into marketable, cleaned-up properties. And we should let vets own them. So the idea is not to just give a homeless veteran a bed, but to give them home ownership. And then at the same time, clean up a lot of zombie properties. It's just an extension of some of the things that are working well, like the land banks, where they go in and clean up these properties and get them back on the market. That's what we want. We want a better tax base. We want safer neighborhoods. And we want to end homelessness among our veterans. And let's kill two birds with one stone, is my view.
And while we have a couple of minutes, let's talk about rail safety. I know you've been a fierce advocate for making rail lines safer. We've had some bad accidents. Any progress?
Yes, we've made real progress. We've reauthorized the federal programs that would allow communities to clean up these dangerous grade crossings in the Hudson Valley. We don't have that many of them left. We ought to get rid of them. My legislation will allow local communities to do that with 90% of the funding paid for by the federal government and just a 10% local match. So that's going to save lives. We also are making real progress because we opened up the source of financing so that the MTA and Metro North could put $1 billion into the system right now to update our technologies called positive train control that will allow us to control runaway trains remotely and stop them before they derail. That's what happened at Spite and Dival with that terrible accident. So the point is to end grade crossing and derailment accidents on both our commuter trains and our on the oil trains on the west side of the river, because that's very important. There is where we have these large, you know, oil trains moving up and down and present a real danger as well. And we can do this. There's no reason we should ever have a grade crossing accident or a derailment because of human error.
And the grade crossing, just for one, we only have less than a minute, but very quickly, the grade crossing means that instead of coming to one of those arms that comes down, you have something else?
Yeah, you have an underpass or an overpass. And by the way, you can put technologies in place that give faster warnings to the operators of these trains or to stop the trains remotely, right, if something's in the way. If something is on the tracks, that's very often what results in the grade crossing accident, right, is that a car has stalled, a bus is hung up on the tracks. The human operator can't stop the train until she or he sees it. Remote sensors and an IT backbone linked to positive train control stops the train in time to do us some good. And the safest thing we can do is just eliminate the places where cars now go at grade level across the tracks. There's only a handful of them, particularly on the commuter lines. We should get rid of them.
It's terrific to talk to Congressman Sean Patrick Maloney, Democrat of New York's 18th District. Sean, thanks for showing up, as always. When we come back the next time, let's see if I can ask you some other good questions.
You bet.